post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Welcome in. The Royals have won 8 straight games. That's right. Taking a series in Tampa. Don't even have to wait for tomorrow for the rubber game. 7-4 today. The final 11 innings. The Royals, 3 runs they put up in the 11th inning and get their 8th straight win. Now it's about hoping Cleveland loses tonight to the Angels. Royals sit 1.5 back. They've won 7 in a row. But this team, they continue to win. They put pressure on teams. This team now, 15 games over 500. Jay Binkley in here for Josh Vernier. Quint Morris producing the operation. My game notes brought to you by Jay Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Our phone number, if you want to talk about this exciting win for the Royals, and I do sense a lot of excitement from people in Kansas City. Quint Morris and I were shaking our fist as the Royals. But they had this thing. MacArthur almost had this thing down to one strike, man. But you know what? Just make things interesting. Have Matty Q use the whole, basically the whole roster and get the W in Tampa Bay, which hasn't been easy for the Royals as of late. Jay Binkley in for Josh Vernier. Give us a call, 913-586-7610, same as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Well, we knew yesterday the Royals had scored 8 straight runs in 5 straight games, the first time since 1978. But the Royals won 8 in a row now. The Rays, 6 in a row now. But the Royals, 15 games over 500. And how about these numbers from Nick Cable, who's working in PR for the Kansas City Royals? The Royals have scored at least 7 runs. We know how good the pitching staff is. We know how good this pitching staff is. One of the best in baseball. But the Royals have now scored at least 7 runs in 6 consecutive games for the first time in franchise history. Think about that. You know, these great teams of the 70s. You know, the Royals making the World Series in 80. You know, 85, make the playoffs 84, winning the thing in 85. Going to the Game 7 of the World Series in 14, winning the whole thing in 2015. They've never scored at least 7 runs in 6 consecutive games for the first time in franchise history. You know, it's Nelson Velasquez hitting a home run in the second inning, 403 feet. You know, his 3rd home run in the last 7 games. Bobby Witt Jr. extending that hitting streak to 8 games with a single, 112.7 off the bat. The guy's crushing it. Mikel Garcia extending his hitting streak to 12 games. 18 hits in those 12 games for Mikel Garcia. Things are starting to come together. Michael Massey did not play today. Adam Frazier took his place there at second base. 3-hit night for Adam Frazier. I mean, everybody's doing something. Garrett Hampson's doing something. Talked about Renfro doing something last night. Everybody's pitching in and getting the job done. Brady Singer, fantastic. But it was MacArthur picking up the win for the Kansas City Royals. His 2nd. Brady Singer goes 5 innings, 4 hits, just 1 earned run. He continues his streak. What's that now, Quinn? Is it 8 games now where he's at least pitched 5 and 1 run or less?
Yeah, he has 8
which
starts.
Which leads to the major leagues.
Yeah, 8 starts with 5-plus innings pitch and 1 earned run or fewer, which is the most in the major leagues. And some people would ask, well, where's Seth Lugo on that list? Because everybody talks about how good he's been. Yeah. He is 2nd on the list, tied with 7, along with 7, a pitcher from the Rangers. So
that's right. So
you've got two guys on your pitching staff. Neither are the ace that are leading baseball or close to it.
It's just doing it in different ways. You know, yesterday you saw 3 stolen bases for the Royals. You know, they came in 6th in baseball. They were just 2 off the Rays for 5th in baseball, stealing bases. They could do that. They hit for power. They move runners over. They pitch well. And right now they're 15 games over 500 as this run barrage continues. And when you're pitching this good, they're winning games, you know, by 4 runs, 3 and 4 runs. Like, these aren't close. And I know this did go into 11 innings. The Rays did have to come back 3 times in this game. But 913-586-7610. Let's go to Ed in KC. What's up, Ed, with 2 D's?
Hey, what's up, man? I just wanted to say that I think if we can win tomorrow, man, that's for our weakest starter is Waka. I think we got a chance to easily win like 12, 13 in a row.
You know what's great about things is the streaks. And as good as this pitching staff is, you're not going to lose a bunch of them. Right now, the biggest streak they've had is 2 3-game losing streaks. That's it. But I like that confidence that you have in that. They're just a very consistent team.
Yeah. I think Marsh is probably our third best starter, man. So, I mean, we win tomorrow. I definitely like our chance to go in and win that first game against the Twins.
Yeah, the best thing, yeah, is have the Twins for 4 coming up. And thanks for the call, Ed. The Royals coming in.
For being our Sonic Slam contestant, Angie Simmons from Kansas City, Missouri.
It was a Sonic Slam, though. On the line today for the Royals, this is from Royals PR before the game. With the win today or tomorrow, which they did get the win today, they clinched their first series victory at Tropicana Field since May 8th through 11th of 2017 when they won 3 of 4. They've lost 4 series in Tampa. Put a win now for this series with 1 split and 5 completed series since. They had lost 13 of 18 games in Tampa. Put that to the side. They keep Tampa Bay losing. Their 6th straight loss for these Royals. They win in Tampa. They have a 8-game winning streak for the first time in 7 years, going back to 2017 to win 8 games in a row. This doesn't happen very often. You know, the 7 runs in 6 straight games never happened in franchise history. Played the audio of Vinny Pasquantino yesterday on MLB Radio Network Radio talking about it's not a fluke. It's not a fluke, folks. This team is for real, and it's fun to see the city getting behind them. Let's go to Double J in KC. What's up, Double J?
Hey, Bink. Thanks for taking the call. You're doing an awesome job filling in for Vaughn while he's gone on vacation or whatever. But I just want to say, go Royals. What a win today. Let's go sweep them tomorrow with Walker on the mound. How about Nelly too? It's good to see him starting to hit the ball again after that slump he went through. As always, go Royals, and bring on the Twins too. Let's go, baby.
That's right, Double J. Good hearing from you in baseball. Heard from you during football quite a bit too. But the bottom line is, yeah, with Garcia, the 3 home runs in 7 games, 12-game hitting streak for Michael Garcia. And how about Salvador Perez, you know, who came in leading the American League in batting average today, hitting .330. Think about this. He gets a hit today, all right? He was 1 for 5, but still got a hit. You know, he hasn't gone the entire season 3 games in a row without a hit. He did not have a hit in 2 games prior to this one. Gets a hit in this game. I mean, just insane stuff. Just being consistent, not being streaky. It's what they are. USC streaky, it's the Minnesota Twins, next opponents. They won 12 in a row this season, and they've lost 7 in a row this season. I mean, it is going up and down. The Royals have stayed consistent, and that's what happens when you're pitching and playing good defense. Let's go to Dan in KCK. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Bink, how you doing? Yeah, 8 in a row. It was a kind of frustrating game. Royals were on the had the Rays on the ropes a few times, but they came through. And I tell you, the big double play, even though the race tied, they made pitches. Zerpa made the double play off of Diaz, and then MacArthur got out of it in the last inning. So, you know, it's fun to see 8 in a row. And I remember the 1977 team real well, Bink, when they won 16 in a row. They were 38-36.
That's some old school stuff right there, Dan. I like that.
Yep. Yeah, it was the White Sox, Richie Zisk, I remember. And the Royals went on. I think they were 38-36. And they ran out 16 in a row. And then they separated themselves from the White Sox. And I remember Dennis Leary winning 20 games. But Larry Gura, he had a lot of great stuff, but never could win 20 games, you know. And Splitter was pretty good, too, winning 20 games. So let's get the sweep tomorrow. Take care, Bink.
That's right. Get the sweep. You know, you already won the series. Get the sweep. On this on the heels of sweeping everybody at home, remember they went 54 innings without not having a lead? Yeah, we'll take a quick ID here.
Watch Cody and Gold live on YouTube on the at 610 Sports KC channel, 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Had to get that in for the excitement, just the timing of it. I mean, 11 innings. I mean, you got the deal done. The Royals going for the sweep tomorrow in a place in Tampa. They haven't had a lot of luck. It's good to see them win a series in Tampa for the first time since 2017. Let me tell you something about that place, Quinn. And, you know, that ball, you know, would hit the ceiling and stuff like that. That place is an absolute dump. Tropicana Field. The Trop. The nacho vendor at this point, when the game I went, they had He was wearing like a USC Trojans outfit. They were just wearing different stuff. I mean, it was weird. And there was a lot of Royals fans down there. A lot of Royals fans in Tampa.
You could hear them chanting, "Let's go Royals," and today.
I think you're going to start hearing the "Let's go Royals" chants. I already hear from people, you know, at the airport and different cities or whatever, flying back. They got the Royals gear on, man. They got a back-to-back world champion football team. They got a baseball team steamrolling towards the playoffs, and it's fun. And I'll play some Salvador Perez stuff later from MLB Network with John Morosi talking about him. You know, and how this is the second time he's been with a young core, you know, that's won. And it's remarkable. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But let's go to Jason in Washington. What's up, Jason?
Hey, man. Thank you for taking my call. Great win. Let's hope Isbell is okay, because, gosh, that looked brutal, huh?
It was. Yes, it was. And the second straight nights, it was messy yesterday with the low back strain that he kind of had, the reason he was on the injured list. But it kind of went off his bat right into his face, the facial lacerations.
Right.
It's the only thing we have at this point. But, yeah, that was a bad deal. Then you had to see Hampson go to center field. But, let's hope Kyle Isbell is okay.
Right.
But, man, that's always bad when that baseball goes right back to the noggin, man.
Yeah, man. I don't know if it's just me. I don't know about MacArthur, because he stresses me the you-know-what out. Because remember our closer from, like, 20 years ago, Mike McDougal? I mean, come on, you know, one strike to go, MacArthur, similar name even, just curious though. I don't know when All-Star game voting starts, but Vern mentioned on the post game last week, he said over 2.5 representatives. I'm thinking 4, Bobby, Salvi, Lugo, and Schreiber. I'll listen off air, but also too, I'd like to think Hugh is locked for manager of the year, and I don't know if there is a GM of the year, but that's got to go to J.J. Piccolo this team together.
He's done absolutely amazing. And, Hunter Renfroe, I played his comments last night. We was talking to Joel after the game. I thought it was really interesting, talking about the core and how Matty Q kind of put this team together and J.J. Piccolo put this team together and, how much they just play with each other. They like being teammates, man. Very similar thing you saw with the 14 and 15 Royals, even going back to 2013. Very similar thing you see across the street at Arrowhead Stadium, 1 Arrowhead Drive, with teams that like each other. Michael Walker tomorrow for the sweep, 4-4 with the 4.45 ERA. 11th start this season, the 239th of his career. Walker earned his third straight win going back to in Tampa, but he last won. He's won 3 in a row because he won back on May 9th against the Angels, won on May 14th against Seattle, and he won on May 20th against Detroit. His earned runs he's given up in the last 3 games, he went 6, gave up 2 earned runs against the Angels. He went 6, gave up 2 earned run, or excuse me, 1 earned run against Seattle, and he went 7 innings and gave up 2 earned runs against Detroit's won his last 3 times out. You'll take that anytime. They think about what's been going on. Cole Reagans, throwing those 12 strikeouts a couple days ago. That performance you got from Lugo, taking that American League lead, of course, that he had in ERA and in wins. And then you see the performance you got from Brady Singer today. Add Michael Walker, who's starting to turn things around as well.
And knock on wood, Your team has been relatively healthy at the pitching staff, right? We've seen all sorts of injuries go around, and the only injury you've had to your pitching core was Alec Marsh taking sort of that fluke line drive off the elbow, and it kept him out on the 15-day IL. He only missed 2 starting spots, and your team didn't really skip a beat, didn't really miss him all that much. So this is a team that is young, has got some veterans in key positions, and has maintained their health at the pitching core, which we've seen as a problem around baseball.
Here's how good Michael Walker has been, the pitcher going tomorrow for the Royals. Vern back tomorrow, pregame at 11:30 there. But since the beginning of last season, his 8 starts of at least 6 scoreless innings are tied for 6th most in Major League Baseball. This coming from Royals PR, with 3 others, including Cole Reagans as well. Walk is 2-3 with the 6.03 against Tampa, but has picked up the win in 2 of his last 3 starts dating back to 2022. So it's up to Michael Walker tomorrow for the sweep. Can they go 9 in a row? 3 straight series sweeps. That's the kind of stuff you're going for right now. Hey, the Rays, they're struggling this year. This is a team that, got off to a 27-6 start last year? They've had a lot of injuries and stuff like this, but the Rays are this team that's always constantly putting pressure on teams. That's the Royals right now. You don't want to play the Royals.
Well, yeah, and, Waka used to play for Tampa Bay. So, you know, he knows the dome. He knows the rafters and all that stuff and how to take advantage of the ballpark. They were talking on the broadcast how manager Matt Quatrero, since he was there and so was their bench coach, that they're able to take advantage of some of those other things too, because you're just experienced in that ballpark. And it's just sort of a unique experience for a manager who is new to the managing, but because he was drafted by the Rays and went up through the coaching staff through the Rays, you know, he just knows that ballpark so well.
We could have Lugo start in the All-Star game. Seth Lugo could win the Cy Young. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. You know, Bobby Witt's in the conversation for MVP. Sal Perez still a long shot at it, but should be right there with his numbers and ribs and his batting average. But Matty Q, you know, Ned Yost never won the Manager of the Year. Can Matty Q get there with this remarkable turnaround from last year to this year? And when they spoke, and J.J. Piccolo spoke about they lost more games last year than they thought they should have. And that's woulda, coulda, shoulda. But, you know, things are starting to come together for this team from Lori and Austin on the text line 913-586-7610. Hey, Bink, I enjoyed listening to this game. These guys didn't quit. It was rough. It wasn't pretty, but they didn't quit. This is a mental battle. And, hey, I'm with you. This team does not quit. There's no quit in this team. Like I said, it reminds me of a Royals team 10 years ago. Just didn't quit. They push the gas pedal down to the floor, and they don't quit, and they believe in each other, and they do the small things. They play defense. Yesterday, they went to the game with the second-best fielding percentage in baseball, just a percentage behind the Atlanta Braves. They play defense. They steal bases. It's timely hitting. And most importantly, it is pitching for this Royals team. You can't see elongated losing streaks, Quentin. You just can't with this pitching staff. Because Cole Reagan's going to step up his game. Michael Walker's won three straight. You got Seth Lugo doing his deal. This guy's pitching nasty. He gets mad after just giving up a run in the first yesterday. But I loved it after the game. He's sitting there talking, you know, to the pitching staff about, you know, how to get these hitters out and stuff. That's leadership right there. And then you see what Brady Singer is doing as well. Just the confidence this pitching staff exudes in the way that the timely hitting is going on. But everything coming up roses for this team right now.
Well, we talked about, you know, the last couple years, how the Royals just needed a stopper, right? They needed a guy that could come in, and when he was pitching, he was the guy that was going to stop those, you know, keep those losing streaks from turning to 4-5, keep them from getting swept. The Royals have arguably four, even five, depending on how you feel about Marsh. Maybe he's too young to throw him in that category, but the Royals have at least four stoppers, right? They've got four starting pitchers that can go out, and when you're at the ballpark or you're listening to 610 Sports Radio or you're watching on TV, you know that the Royals have a chance to win that game. They're not going to win all of them, and sometimes your pitcher is going to get shelled every once in a while. We saw that with Cole Reagans back in Baltimore when Baltimore was here in Kansas City, and he gave up seven runs in the first two innings. But the point is that 90% of the time, your guys are going to go out there and you feel confident in their ability to get through guys and to make sure that you stay relatively close in this game to give your lineup the opportunity to do what they've been doing over the last few games. How many innings have we seen now where they've got on with a walk, they've got on with a double, and all of a sudden it's just boom, 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 run after run after run, and that frenzy hitting style that the whole offense just seems to wake up and the fire starts.
And they remain the only team in Major League Baseball with an extra base hit in every single game this year. That's impressive. We saw some great defensive plays. You know, how about Stratton behind the back? You know, behind the back, get the baseball. It's like, whoa, look what I found. Stratton with the great play there. How about Salvador Perez throwing out his fifth base runner today? Perfect throw to Bobby Witt Jr.'s nice little tap on the stolen base there. He's just doing the little things. Just, you know, and again, this guy like Renfro yesterday had the stolen base, is what, first stolen base in 3 years? Or second in three years? He did that. You got to do the little things. Adam Frazier came up big today with the three hits as well. And he's just doing the little things.
And your bottom of the lineup is starting to pick up. You know, even if they aren't, you know, even if they aren't the ones that are getting all the RBIs, when your 7, 8, 9 guys are able to turn it over to the top of your rotation, all three of your 1, 2, 3 guys had an RBI today. How does that happen? Well, the bottom of your rotation is able, or the bottom of your batting order turns it over to you. So
like yesterday, everybody had a run or an RBI.
Exactly. So it's just like your...
Yeah, the whole lineup.
It really is. Matt Cotrero has done such a great job with figuring out how each player can be used. Sort of like back in 14 and 15 with Ned Yost, right? You have all of those guys who are your starters and on your bench. You better use all of them. And the way that they've rotated guys defensively, or they've come in and having Salvador Perez take the day off but play first. Like, all of these little things that the Royals have been able to do sort of around the edges are the things you have to do in baseball in order to make sure that you maintain your competitive advantage. And the Royals not only have the talent, but they have the smarts behind it to be able to use all of it.
It's like Nelson Velasquez said after the game. He said, according to Bally's here, it's something he created as a team. The energy is a family. Never give up. Kind of a lot like the sentiment that Hunter Renfroe echoed yesterday. We'll take a timeout. We come back. Let's hear from Brady Singer, today's starting pitcher, when we come back.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Slider ripped into left field, down for a base hit. Frazier rounds third base. He's in his score standing. Mikel Garcia gives the Royals a little more breathing room. An RBI single, and it's now 7-4 Royals in the top of the 11th.
It's amazing how consistently he comes through with men on base and men in scoring position.
Royals get the win in 11 in Tampa, their first series win there since 2017. The first time the Royals have won eight straight since 2017. This team is on a roll. They went 7-4 today in 11 innings. It was fun to see. I mean, if you saw this in the 11th inning, just the confidence this team had. You know, Nelson Velasquez getting things rolling there with the double to center for mean scores. Then Adam Frazier reached on the infield single to the shortstop. Nelson Velasquez scored on that. Then Mikel Garcia, he singled left. Adam Frazier then scores there as the Royals win 7-4. Nick Cappell from the Royals PR staff tweeted this out earlier, but best chances to represent the American League in the World Series, according to Baseball Reference. This before the game. The Orioles were number one, 22.7%. The Yankees, number two, 21.6%. The Royals, number three, at 14.9%. Went over the payroll disparity between the Mets, number one, the Yankees, number two, the Dodgers, number three. And there's the Royals all the way down at 21 doing what they're doing. It's just fun. It's just fun to see. But, you know, a lot of things. Like I said, Mikel Garcia extends his hitting streak to 12 games. Sal Perez has not gone three straight games without a hit. It's just fun, fun, fun. Here's Brady Singer after the game when he was on Bally Sports, had the interview.
Fight back in battle when you guys need it the most.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, fight. I mean, these guys are staying in the game. The bullpen kept us in the game there, you know, throughout the game. And the offense just, like I said, fighting through it. I mean, they've been doing this for on a run here. I think that's 8 in a row or something like that. So, you know, they've put up a lot of numbers, a lot of runs, and tonight they just continue to fight and, you know, put runs on the board.
They continue to fight.
What about just your observations on this team finding ways to win? I mean, you blasted people, but today you had to scratch out a tough one. And, I mean, just your ability to do what you have to do.
No, you said it good. I mean, finding ways to win, that's what we're doing. Tonight's a great example of it. You know, it's really, really close game and being able to get those runs here late in the game. And, you know, obviously winning the game was huge. I mean, that's just something that we've been, you know, doing all year long is fighting and clawing our way back and staying in close games like that.
It's a fun team to watch, as Brady Singer. Fun team to watch. They don't give up. Most starts of five innings and one run allowed. Number one, Brady Singer gets his eighth today. He leads baseball. Seth Lugo, number two at seven. Cole Reagans, by the way, at third with six. So that's going five innings and allowing a run or less to score. So, yeah, by the way, Cole Reagans is third. So it's Singer, Lugo, Reagans. That's kind of the order that we have in that situation with the Royals pitching staff and how good that they've been this season. And, you know, just every nationally, they're talking about the Royals. I mean, you can't go on. You can't look at MLB Network now without them talking about the Royals. What a great story they are. This is not a fluke. You don't win 15 in a row on a fluke. The most they've lost is three in a row. That is not a fluke. This pitching staff is too good for that. People are realizing how good this pitching staff. And as I made the reference yesterday when I was on Cody and Gold, that people didn't believe in the Chiefs defense, right? They didn't believe in, hey, we're talking about the offense and how they're struggling. And all of a sudden, the defense is a great defense. You know, okay, believe in the Royals. This is not a fluke with what's going on. Let's go to Cody. What's up, Cody?
Hey, not too much. It's good seeing the Royals play so well. And I really hate to bring this up because they have been doing so well all year. But the thing that I think June, especially with the tough schedule, they're going to start playing the Guardians and Twins more. And the thing that really separates the teams is just the back end of the bullpen. The Indians have Clase. He's one of the best closers in the league. The Twins have Duran. He can get it up to 103. He's a top-flight closer. I mean, for the Royals, to once they start playing these closer games, they just really need that guy that can bring the heat in the back of the bullpen. I think MacArthur, he's a decent closer.
Well, they did get Hernandez back, and he hit 99 as soon as he came back, and he hit 101 twice.
Kinda, he was kind of getting shelled a little bit. And
you get the power arm coming through, and then Sam Long comes in, does it before Hernandez and did his deal.
One thing about Hernandez, since his good year in 2021, he's 1-15 with an ERA close to 6. So I'm not for sure if he's the answer. I mean, I would make heaven and earth to get Mason Miller for the A's if they put him available. He's a guy in 20 innings, 40 strikeouts, 0 walks, and just throws absolute heat. I would give up, I mean, so much for him. Even a guy like Michael Kopech from the White Sox, I mean, he's a guy that can bring it. That's the one thing I think the Royals, I mean, I think hitting, though, they can get by. It would be nice to get another corner bat. I think they can get through with what they have on offense, but they need to improve the bullpen.
Well, and that's something they'll do. But as a rotation, this team is doing great. Yes, they're going to be tested. Yes, who knows about the Twins, man? The Twins are so up and down. Like, you think they're going to be good one year, and they're not. You think they're going to be bad one year, and they're not. They're actually good. Again, they've gone on a 12-game winning streak, props to them. They've also had a 7-game losing streak, more than double what the Royals have done. Yes, they have the Twins for 4 coming up, very important. Then you've got Cleveland coming out looming. Well, Padres are mixed in there before, but you got Cleveland looming on June 4th, the 5th and 6th, for the first of 13 games against Cleveland. And, man, that can't get any bigger than that. But they don't have Bieber, and we'll see what happens down the stretch. But, yes, but, you know, you see the way this team played the Orioles. They lost the game they should have won. I get that. You see them dispatch other teams, but they're winning not close games. They're winning games in routes. I would hate to play them if you're a good baseball team because they don't want to.
I can't believe how important that Cleveland series has all of a sudden begun. And it's already strange that we haven't faced them at all already, neither at Kauffman or in Cleveland. But
first of 13.
It's crazy that we haven't faced Cleveland yet, and just how that one series, you're going to have 10 games to play them after that, but man, that could really, whoever wins that series could really pull themselves apart in the AL Central, because you're right, the Twins went on that 12-game winning streak, and it's like they came out of nowhere, but now they're hovering around 500. Detroit hovering around 500, and the White Sox, I'm not even sure, are a professional baseball team. If they were a European league, they'd be sent to relegation at this point. So you've got the Royals and the Guardians fighting for first place. And when you go through the stats, whether it's batting stats, pitching stats, it's the Royals followed right by Cleveland, or it's Cleveland followed right by the Royals. I mean, these two teams are truly neck and neck in almost every statistical category.
They've won 9 of the last 10, Cleveland has. They've won 7 in a row. Like the Royals, they're going for 8 tonight against the Angels. But yes, you play 4 against the Twins, then the Padres for 3, Cleveland for 3, Seattle for 3. Seattle obviously, you know, had some good luck going when the Royals went out there. Seattle for 3, then you got the New York Yankees for 4 at home, then the Dodgers. Then it starts calming down a little bit at Oakland. They're very familiar with Texas. They have them. Get to the stretch. I have no doubt they can't handle the stretch. Like, there's not a doubt in my mind they can't, because the pitching is that good. The starting pitching is that good. When you've gone as many, they're 1, 2, and 3 in baseball with pitchers that have gone at least 5 innings and given up 1 run or fewer. Like, that doesn't lie, man. That translates to playing good teams. And you're dealing with pros like Lugo and Walker that have seen and done everything.
I think that's the important part, is that you're getting these also, you're getting them from both your young and your veteran pitchers. And a lot of these guys have already proven themselves, right? Like a Seth Lugo, you know, he throws so many pitches, he has to have extra buttons on his pitch comm. He throws, so he's always thinking a couple pitches ahead. And he talked about that, you know, on a post-game show one time. And it's just that he is such a professional. And you've heard from some of the young guys about how they've been able to sort of extrapolate some information from them back, like what James Shields did for the 2014-15 team, where you've got these young guys seeing how these older veterans work, these guys that have been in the league for a while who, they may not have been superstars, but they're guys that are ready for the grind and have just been able to prove themselves in the show. And that's what all these other pitchers are picking up on. The pitching staff has been phenomenal. The starting pitching staff has been incredible.
And then you used to talk about, hey, just give me three hitters in the lineup doing things. Well, Mikel Garcia, 12-game hitting streak. You got Bobby Witt coming in hitting well over 300 in the last 12 games. You've got that. You got Vinny and his timely hits. You got Sal Perez that has not had more than two games without a hit. Adam Frazier steps in, three hits today for Michael Massey, who has been crushing the baseball that had to be out for this game. Hopefully he'll be playing tomorrow, and hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed that Kyle Isbell is okay as well. Top to bottom, with the Royals' payroll, you're just not going to be there. But look at the payrolls in other teams, and the Royals are sitting there with the third most wins in baseball. They came in with the second best run differential in the American League, only behind the Yankees today. And they're number two payroll in baseball. That's how good this team has been playing. We'll take a timeout. We come back. I want to play something from John Morosi talking about the great Salvador Perez. And it is interesting, you know, talk about how good a player he is and how he's earmarked for the Hall of Fame and how he's been really, you know, the impetus for these two young cores playing. I think it's very interesting next.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
He'll swing and hit it high in the air, deep left center. That's way back, and that ball is going to be out of here. That's a home run. Nelson Velasquez goes deep.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show. Jay Binkley, Vern back tomorrow. Quentin Morris producing the operation. Royals win 7-4. In Tampa, their first series win there since 2017. They've won eight games in a row. They're now 15 games above 500. Yes, we're not even the June yet. Not even the June yet. And I know we're watching the Indians. It's scoreboard watch all you want. I think it's fun. It's fun to see what else everybody else is doing. Now, the Indians have some patsies coming up. They've got some real patsies coming up down the stretch here. A couple games, the Nationals, the Rockies, you name it. So we'll see what happens. But June 4th, that's when the circle of the calendar – the Royals in Cleveland. But a great call in the game by Jake Eisenberg and with Steve Stewart as well. Salvador Perez, to me, is a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's a doubt in it. We've seen him now with two young cores and what he's doing with the Royals, former Silver Slugger, World Series MVP, you name it. I think the Royals are going to have another guy in Cooperstown. So much so, John Morosi, I saw he was on, it was on X earlier, that he was on there talking about Salvador Perez being a Hall of Famer, and I couldn't agree with him more. Here's that from MLB Network today from John Morosi.
I saw that they did a reunion for 2014, and of course they won it all in 2015, and it was Hosmer and Moustakas, and Salvi Perez won World Series MVP in that year, and now he's playing with Bobby Witt. I feel like it's a rejuvenation of youth, right? He must feel alive again.
You're right. He's still there, Lauren. And I think that to me is why, and I said this yesterday, he's a Hall of Famer for me without a doubt. Salvador Perez belongs in the Hall of Fame. But you think about the way that he has joined these two eras of winning for the Royals. That is a historically significant career. When you're the MVP of the World Series as a catcher in 2015, and then 9 years later, you're still batting cleanup for the same franchise. He's batted cleanup for basically all but a half a dozen games this entire season. And look at this, 250-plus career homers and 5-plus gold gloves. Ever. This is MLB history. Pudge, Bench, Salvi. And Salvi is 34 years young. Lauren, he still has a lot of years left to go. I think in a lot of ways, he has now shown that he's been able to master the art of staying healthy, staying in the lineup. He loves to play. I remember the 1 year where he caught more games than any catcher ever had in the history of the game. And then 2 days later, he was on a plane going to Japan for an MLB All-Star Series to catch some more. This is the benefit when one of your best players, a franchise player, has this energy and loves the game so much, is so trusted. You think about that pitching staff, Lauren. They're not all throwing 105 miles an hour. It's a staff that has gotten by with different philosophies of pitching, and you've got Salvi behind the plate handling them all. So Bobby Witt Jr., I hope he's going to the Hall of Fame, but I know this, Salvador Perez certainly is, and his resume is not done.
So I like that, kind of a good way to look at it, you know, with the young core twice. El Capitan. Salvador Perez doing his deal. Just being the captain of this team, being the leader of this team, and giving the consistency the Royals need. And he does. And John's right. Only catchers in Major League history with at least 255 home runs and 5 gold gloves. Pudge, Johnny Bench, Salvador Perez. And Salvador was just 34 years old.
It just shows you how young Salvador Perez was when the rest of the team there, because you just like kind of forget about how young he really was. And
the funny thing was his first hit in Tampa against Wayne Davis.
And it's just crazy how all of that how his career has turned out. And there were so many times. Remember, was it last year or 2 years ago? He could barely see out of one eye and he still wanted to go out and play. He's taken so many foul balls and wild pitches and all of that, and he still continues to want to be out there. I mean, everybody in Kansas City loves Salvador Perez because he comes out onto the field every day with a smile on his face, and even in the darkest times, he continues to smile, and he's such an awesome guy and such a great player, such a great guy to have as a cornerstone of your franchise.
And I'm with him on that, Jumros, and you talking about, you know, playing every day. Remember he led Major League Baseball most catch games caught ever. He just keeps doing it. It's like the Energizer Bunny. Here was how he was. Quinn, like during 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, even 18, like going to the clubhouse after games, when everybody else kind of cleared out, I guess it was still kind of in their uniform bouncing around with energy, Salvador Perez. I mean, that's the type of guy and the type of energy that he brought all the time. But the Royals now have scored at least 7 runs in 6 consecutive games for the first time in franchise history. And Seth Lugo, you know, you're staring down at the Cy Young. I mean, come on, man. When did you ever expect that? The all-star starter could be a Kansas City Royal. Imagine that. Did you think that in your wildest wins in Major League Baseball? Ranger Suarez of Phillies got 9, Seth Lugo 8. Now, that puts Seth Lugo the most in the American League because Suarez is a National Leaguer. So, 2nd in baseball with 8 wins. Not only that, he's number 1 in the American League in wins. And Sal Perez, by the way, has the 5th best batting average in all of baseball and the best average in the American League at this point.
And I know that batting average is not everything anymore. I'm on base percentage is a better statistic because it includes walks. But Salvador Perez is walking more. What he had that streak where he had multiple walk games. There was like within a week he had two walk games, and his entire last year he had only had 4, I think. So Salvador Perez is not only is he able to continue to be the same character, but he's also able to adjust his on-field play. There are so many veteran players that when you are as successful as Salvador Perez, when a new coach comes in and says, hey, this is what I want to change with you, this is what I want you to do to be better player, a lot of veteran players would be like, do you understand that I've been in baseball for over a decade? I'm not changing anything, right? Salvador Perez accepted the coaching to be a better catcher because he had one of the worst catching frames in all of baseball, changed it, and has now significantly improved his defense on that side.
Yeah, behind the plate has been unbelievable, his growth.
And
we saw a guy who's like first 5 or 6 years of his career just continue to get better in home run totals.
He's increased it. And now he's walking more. And it's just crazy what Salvador Perez has been able to do.
He's a great hitter.
I mean, it really is. He really is.
He's become a great hitter. It's fun to see him behind the plate. They're going to put him at first base here more and more as we continue to go. He's still going to catch at this point. We start to see him at first base and everything else. Tremendous athlete, but the Royals go for 9 straight, 3 straight sweeps tomorrow at 12:40 in Tampa. Josh Vernier comes your way with Vern's On Deck show tomorrow as he returns tomorrow. But the Royals get the win today in the 11th inning. And it's good to see. This town is alive, man. This town's happy. This town's got Royals fever, Quentin. This town's got Royals fever. That's what I'm talking about.
The hunt for Blue October.
This is fun to watch. This is fun to watch. The Chiefs doing their thing. The Royals doing their thing. Man, it's a great time to live in Kansas. It's always a great time. But, hey, man, how about our sports teams? For Jay Binkley, for Quentin, producing the operation, Vern will see you guys tomorrow.